This is the fourth apostasy that we find in the book of Judges. I believe this is our 12th message out of the book of Judges in chapter 6. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them unto the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods, little g, of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." Father, I pray tonight that we would, Lord, take this story once again as we have through the book of Judges, the stories of this cycle of sin that continues to be found in the life of Israel. Lord, sometimes we want to skip the peaceable years. 40 years they had been in peace, and 40 years they had enjoyed this idea of peace in the land. But then once again they're sold into the hand of the enemy, and this time it's the Mennonites and the Amalekites. God, help us to make a great application from this passage tonight. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The untold story here is found in verse number 31, after the tale of the two women. Remember the two women? Deborah led the nation of Israel, and then Jael took that big old spike and put it right through the head. That's an awesome story. Again, I believe that should be portrayed in the children's department somewhere. Every time I say this, my wife says that's gross, but hey, I'm just a realist. This is the way it really was. Now, the part that to me that is unknown is notice the very last phrase of chapter 5 and verse 31, the land had rest 40 years. Now, one of the things, and then we're going to see the cycle of sin again, and we're going to look at that, but I was reminded the land having rest for 40 years. My 40th birthday was in 2000, which was almost 19 years ago. I cannot believe that almost 20 years has passed from my 40th birthday. But then I begin to think about that. Can you imagine having peace in the land for 40 years? Now, if you were to take the 1960s all the way to the year 2000, there's a lot of things that happened during that time that were not peaceable. And the thing about it is we fail to, you know, there's always this, in fact, this message was preached during this idea was preached during the church planters conference about how that sometimes church planters sit around and talk, and preachers sit around and talk, and young preachers sit around and talk, and they want to talk about how hard times are. And they want to talk about that it's hard to build a church in today. To me, I just say that's a bunch of baloney. It's always been hard. In my opinion, it was just as hard in the 50s as it was the 60s. Every generation has had their own problems. Every generation has had to deal with their own issues. I mean, if you think about our country just in the 1960s, I was born in 1960. Now, to some people, that's like, man, that's old. But to other people, it's like that wasn't that long ago. I remember what I was doing in 1960. I mean, you think about in the 1960s, if you don't know this, this is when prayer was deemed unconstitutional in schools during this period. And really, from that point forward, America had a lot of problems, had a lot of strife. I mean, three prominent people in the 60s were assassinated. John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy. These were all figures of the day. There was a lot of things that were going on. The Cuban Missile Crisis. We were on the verge of a missile crisis with Cuba. There were riots in the 1960s. My dad worked for the railroad, all right? My dad worked for Norfolk Southern Railroad, and I will never forget those times in the late 60s, 68, 69. And by the way, I don't even know if this is taught anymore in schools. Like, this really happened. And Chattanooga, my dad had to have a sticker on his car in 1968 for him to be able to go to work because there was curfews because the city was being burnt down. I mean, there were riots in the city. This was all across America that was going on. And then not only riots and the Cuban Missile Crisis and the hippie movement. People hating the men who were serving in Vietnam. And a generation of soldiers came back and could not understand, what is our country? What are they doing? Why do they think it's our fault? And then Johnson as the president, and then Nixon as the president, and all that went along with that, and the turmoil that was in our country at that time. Then you move to the 70s, and you have the abortion on demand now, as Roe versus Wade brings in the death of millions of children over the next many years. The Iran hostage situation. Inflation out of control. How many remember these things? How many remember when you couldn't get gas at the gas station? I mean, I remember having to set in a line for a couple of... These young people, they're looking at me like a calf at a Newgate. These were things that actually happened. Now, wouldn't it have been nice not to deal with any of that for 40 years and there would be peace in the land? And so I think the untold story here is the land had rest for 40 years. And then what we find here is, and I think about when I turned 40 years old, I was thinking about this, and my son was 16 years old. And I was 40 years old. And they made fun of me when I was 40. At this birthday party, and they made my son participate in that nonsense. It was funny, and it was mainly about the building program that we had just gone through for quite a time at Knob Noster, and all the work that was done and the different things that had happened and all of that. But I just can't imagine 40 years of peace. Can you imagine 40 years of political peace? Have we not got political upheaval right now? I mean, we are a country divided. And because of that, there's people that are saying, well, you know, these are hard times to live in. I just say we've always had hard times. Let's go all the way back to when Jesus Christ started the church and the Gospels. Let's think about the Apostle Paul as he was starting churches in that world and was under the oppression of the Roman government. And there would be men like Nero that would raise themselves up to be the Caesar and would kill people because he thought he was God. He didn't want anybody else worshiping some other god, so Christians were persecuted. What about the Dark Ages, when Baptists were like churches in China today? Churches all across Europe were underground, and they were standing for the faith, and they would not bow to the Roman Catholic church and that was killing people, and the Inquisition. Listen, that's all religious persecution. But Baptists stood even during those dark days They would not baptize their children. And they preached the word of God. You go and look at some of those believers during the dark ages who lived in caves and had to memorize the word of God, because if they were found with a Bible, they would immediately be tortured and killed. So don't tell me that this is a time that it's hard to build a church, that people don't listen. People have always not listened. But yet there's always been people who have listened. And what we need to do is be faithful to the word of God, preach the word of God, be a witness, tell people the gospel. Our problem is not that the gospel doesn't work. Our problem is we don't present the gospel like we should be. Amen, preacher. I know you're right. And so I'm just telling you, it's hard to imagine the untold story of the land having rest. But then, all of a sudden, once again, the nation of Israel, after this 40 years of peace, they found themselves once again just hanging on. They found themselves a people on the run, living in caves and mountains. That's what we read in our text. It says that, and because of the Midianites in verse number 2, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, the Amalekites with them, if you would, and the children of the east, they came against them, they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase of their earth. It's like every time they would build a garden, the enemy would come and take the fruit of that garden. And so I want you to understand, the people had become desperate. They were defeated because of their disobedience. They're living a life of distress. They could not believe that life had brought them to this place. And listen, you know whose fault it was. Because I have found out as a pastor over the years, people who come basically to what you might term the end of their rope. And people will say, I'm at the end of my rope. I cannot take this any longer. They begin to blame other people, and most of the time they blame God. And they say things like, where is God? When the truth is, the problem most of the time is found in the mirror. Do you know how many times that I have received a phone call? Do you know how many voicemails that I have listened to? I could just say today or the last week. How many people say that they basically are saying, I'm at the end of my rope. I can't go any further. I'm in a distressful situation. I'm delusioned. And so if I get the opportunity, I begin to ask them questions. Well, why do you think you're in this dilemma? What is it that brought you to the place that you're at right now? And it's always a series of wrong choices that have brought them to the place where they're at the end of the rope. And Israel's like this again. You know why? Because Israel's fault was Israel's fault. They had begun to once again make wrong choices. They begin to, as chapter 5 verse 8 says, they chose new gods. Now the implication here is very clear, because the Lord sends a prophet in verse number 8. And he said to them, I gave you the land, and I told you not to fear the gods of the Amorites. So that tells us that they had changed from serving the living God, down in verse number 10, and now they were fearing the gods of the Amorites. What does that mean? It means, as chapter 5 verse 8 says, they once again chose other gods. And notice the term is with these little g's. So I want you to just understand, this is just a simple message tonight. Most messages are. But here's what you need to understand. When you come to the end of your rope, it's probably because you've brought yourself there. And let me just tell you what happens when sin comes. The first thing, one of the things that happens is strife. There's a lot of strife. God is not the author of strife. He's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace and tranquility. But it says here in verse number 1, the children of Israel did evil, that's sin, in the sight of the Lord. Verse number 10, he said, I told you not to fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And then it says, you have not obeyed my voice. So the children of Israel did evil, and they obeyed not the voice of God, and they began to fear the gods of the Amorites. And so after 40 years of peace, God delivers them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, it's bad enough living in a life of living in a sinful world. I mean, there's a lot of calamity goes on all around us. But I'm telling you, sin always brings about unnecessary suffering. There's no excuse, and there's no need for you to have to go through the sin of suffering. But yet people decide, well, I'm going to disobey God. Now, here's one of the things that I would say about the book of Judges so far, and now in chapter 6. I said when I began, this is the fourth apostasy. So this is the fourth apostasy, the fourth cycle, and now the fourth cycle of servitude of some type that God's going to sell them into the hand of a different enemy. In this case, it's the Midianites. So what I'm saying is, isn't it sad when you don't learn from your past mistakes? Now, I think we need to understand that if we do something and it don't work, maybe you want to try something else. But here's what a lot of people do. They do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I've heard this before, but insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over and trying to seek a different result only to find the same result every time. Sin is not hidden from God. It's sad when we don't learn. And all we say, think, or do is not hid from God. Sin always brings strife. Now, the word strife, it means contention, enmity, and opposition. Now, there's a lot of people that think me and my wife argue sometimes. Our friends, all of our friends, that all of our preacher friends, they think that we're communicating loudly towards each other. The hardest thing about me and my wife is we're both, in a sense, one quiet and one not so quiet, and I'll let you figure out which one that is. But quiet leaders are still leaders. I'm not quiet. Well, I just gave it away. And so neither one of us ever want to be wrong, even though there are times that one of us is. And so when we're with our friends and we're going back and forth, they think that we're being contentious. And here's the thing about it is, the older I get, the less I like strife. I don't like to have opposition with my wife, because one of my themes is happy wife, happy life. Now, don't get me started now. But strife with God comes when we don't line up with God. All right? This time, the strife is in the family. Think about this, the Midianites. Now, I just want to give you a background here. The Midianites would be what I would be considered the half-brother of the Jews. Abraham was a hundred, and by the way, you read this in your Bible reading recently. Abraham was 137 years old when Sarah died. She had the one child, Isaac. He was the promised seed. Isaac Isaac married Rebekah. And you understand this. Isaac married Rebekah, and they had Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons, and it became the 12 tribes of Israel. That's very much recorded in the Bible. But when Sarah died and Abraham was 137, he lived 38 years longer and died at the age of 175 years old. When the man is 137 years old, he married a woman named Keturah, and she gave him 6 sons. And one of those sons was Midian. Moses, who was from the tribe of Levi, married Zipporah, who was a Midianite. Everybody remember that? That's Abraham. These are the half-brothers of the Jewish people. Then you go a little bit further, and you'll find in Numbers 25, and I'm not going to preach this, But Balaam could not curse Israel, so he counseled, listen to this, he counseled a Midianite woman to seduce the Jews and turn their hearts toward idol worship, and it worked, Numbers 25. This is strife in the family. These are the people that are half-brothers to the Jewish people that should have been their friends. But here's the picture. When corruption of the world and the philosophy of the world conflict with God's world, God's word, I should say, the result is strife. You know, I'm telling you, that's why when you bring the world into the church, there's always going to be strife. When you bring the philosophies of the church, the philosophies of the world into the church, there's going to naturally be strife. And I want you to understand sin's going to bring strife. And sin not only brings strife, but it brings struggles. In verses 2 through 5, the Bible says that the hand of the Midianites prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, Israel had to go to the dens and the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. And then it goes on to tell us, when Israel had sown their fields, they brought the flesh with them. Now, why do I say that? Because the idea, the word Midian means struggle, and the word Amalekites means flesh. And I'm telling you, they were living in caves. Their food was destroyed. They were struggling. They were living in fear. They fled into the caves and mountains. What happened? Sin robbed them of their character. And rather than deal with their sin, they ran. By the way, where are you going to run? Where are you going to go where God's not there? But you know what? People do it all the time. They come to the end of their rope in their situation, and they think running to a different part of the world or a different state is going to take them out. No, it's not. When you get there, it'll still be there. Whatever sin it is that you're dealing with, no matter where you go, if you struggle here, you'll struggle there. Everybody listen to what I'm saying? And rather than deal with their sin, they ran. There's nowhere you can go that God's not there. Here's what we have to do, my friend. We have to deal with our sin, confess our sin, forsake our sin. You know what the word forsake? The idea is repent. And we won't have the same struggles that we did. But if we keep going back to the same sin, we'll continue to have the same struggle. So not only is there strife and struggle, but now the flesh cooperated, the Amalekites, verse number 3. And by the way, all through the scripture, Amalekites is a type of flesh. Then it goes on to say, not only did they have struggle, not only did they have strife, but then they were starving to death. Verse 6 and 7, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. But praise God, finally, when they come to the end of the rope, verse 6 said, they cried unto the Lord. Why do we wait? Why do people wait until they're drowning to seek help from God? The word impoverished means to make feeble. They were starving. Now, spiritually speaking, I can say it like this. Sin makes us impoverished. When they are at the very end, they cry out for help. Turning to the Lord should not be the last resort. Turning to the Lord should be our first place that we go to. In fact, let me encourage you to go to the Lord tonight. Let me encourage you to wake up in the morning when you're reading your Bible, go to the Lord. Spend some time with God in His book, in His Word. Let me remind you that when you're in the Word of God and you're eating the Word of God, it will fill you up and you'll swell up like a balloon. And you'll be spiritually minded. When people are struggling in their strife, they quit reading their Bible. They get at the end of their road, and it's like the prodigal son. He wakes up one day and goes, you know, eating hog food ain't the best thing to do. Anybody here ever have to slop the hogs? Man, we did. That's nasty business. Now, bacon is good. But slopping a hog, it's like if you slop a hog, it means that nothing can be thrown away. It has to be thrown in the slop bucket. But in the morning before school, somebody got to go down there and slop the hogs. And let me tell you something. A hog and a chicken are the two nastiest animals, Brother Mike, on the face of the earth. Go to a chicken coop. Nasty. Hog pen. But the two glorious things of a Baptist are bacon and chicken. Anyhow, let me move on along here. When a person sins, he don't want to read his Bible. When a person sins, he doesn't want to pray. When a person sins, he don't want to go to church. He don't want to be confronted by the Word of God. He's ugly. He's thinks it's everybody else's fault. There is a solution. Look down at verse number 8. That the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. Now notice he doesn't send a judge. He sends a prophet. I believe there's a solution here. I believe there's a reason for that. Look at this. That the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And he preaches a message. And here's the message. I brought you from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of the oppressed. Out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their lands. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why did God send a prophet instead of a judge? Well, what was a judge given them for? A judge was given for deliverance. Now, they're not even ready for deliverance. Are you listening to me? They were not ready for deliverance because there's a difference between a cry and repentance. You can cry all night long because you've been caught in your sin. But it's a different thing to repent. A judge is to deliver the nation of Israel. There's not going to be another judge until Gideon in the next verses that we're going to read. But you're not ready for deliverance until you repent. So they just cried out. And so God sent them a messenger. He sent them a man to give a message. And he was reminding them of God's care and blessing of the past. And let me just tell you, it's like this. God always meets us where our need is. Just like sending Jesus Christ. And I want you to know something, though. Before God will deliver, we must be convicted of our evil conduct. Before Christ, John the Baptist came and he prepared the way of their deliverance. Israel wanted to be delivered from a Roman oppression, but what they needed was deliverance from their sin. Now, it's very likely there's not a lot of people here tonight that are at their end of the rope. And I hope that nobody in this room gets to that place. But I'm telling you, after 30 years of pastoring, I've seen people. I've listened to their stories. I got a phone call tonight. And basically it was this. I'm at the end of my rope. And I guarantee you, if you don't deal with the sin problem, the cycle won't quit. It's whatever the problem is today, it'll be greater tomorrow. And you'll have struggle, you'll starve spiritually. So here's the solution. This is simple. Here's a great application. Why don't you confront your sin? And by the way, we've all got them. Then confess your sin. And you don't have to confess it to me. You got to confess it to God. But then repent. Repentance means walking away. And then you'll have a clean conscience. And you won't be in the cycle that brings strife and struggle, that brings starvation. One thing I love about the Bible, it's simple. It is simple. We just need to obey. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray tonight that we would look into the mirror tonight. And we know if we look into the mirror of the Word of God, it'll come right back to us. And Lord, there are people who struggle. There's a lot of strife going on. And Lord, it's confession of sin, getting right with God. And I realize there's a lot of strife outside these walls. Our world is very, very a strife, a struggle. Sin abounds. But we also know, Lord, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And it is not for the child of God to live a life of struggle. But our life is a life of peace and tranquility. So I pray, Lord, that we would understand. Now, Paul dealt with this. Said when he found himself wanting to do right, that evil was there with him, trying to draw him away. We understand this, Lord. We understand the flesh is not saved. The spiritual part of us is not going to sin, but the fleshly part of us does. Lord, I pray that we might understand tonight. We need to be right with you. We need to be in your word. We need to be in prayer. But sin takes us away from that. And then the devil tries to get us to thinking that we can't get back. And oh God, that's a lie of the devil. So I pray your people tonight would understand, just like the nation of Israel, after enjoying 40 years of peace, prosperity, the goodness of God, once again, they did evil in the sight of God and begin to serve other gods and begin to serve the gods of the Amorites. So God sells them into the hand of the Midianites, and strife and struggle came. Lord, it's sad that they didn't repent in our story tonight. They had to be reminded by a prophet that God's best was made for them. But finally, they're going to cry out and they're going to ask, they're going to repent. And you're going to send another unlikely hero, Gideon, who considered himself the least of the judges. I pray, Lord, that we might understand sin will take us further than we want to go. It'll keep us longer than we want to stay, and it'll make us pay much more than we ever thought that it would. So I pray God's people tonight would come to you in repentance in Christ's name. Amen. 451, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If you need to be saved tonight, God's speaking to your heart. I'm just telling you, what a cycle of repetitiveness that takes place in the book of Judges over and over and over. Kind of like Christian life, over and over. As we sing, go ahead, brother.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. Trust and obey, for there's no